Hello, everybody. It's Joanna. Welcome. I'm so glad you're here. And my apologies for being a minute late. I have kind of, at this point, accepted that for as long as my children are going to be in the house 24/7, I'm probably going to be a minute late to every call. My apologies in advance. By the time I either hide in my bedroom and close the doors or get everybody out of the house, is just how it is. Anyway, I'm really happy to be here with all of you today. I'm thinking about all of you. I hope that you're doing okay. We've got our clinic call today, so this is an opportunity to bring forward any questions that you have about client cases, work that you're doing with groups, curriculum, inner blocks with your coaching, all of that. And, you know, we've kind of been loosey-goosey with the clinic calls and the business Q&A calls. So also, you know, use this time exactly as you need it. If you have a marketing question, a more business-related question, please feel free. It will be for service for everybody. But before we jump in to our Q&A time, I want to just take a moment for everybody to connect in. I want to share with you a little practice that I've been trying to do daily. When I say trying to do daily, it just depends on whether my children give me the space or not to do it. But I try to do this daily since the pandemic started, or actually it started 2 weeks into the pandemic when I realized I kind of needed it. I want to offer this to you and give us an opportunity to just do it a little bit right now in case it's valuable. And the exercise that I created and that I've been doing is a very simple one. It's just today I feel, right? Because so much these days with emotions running so high, with a lot of, you know, either anxiety or fear or grief or slowing down or picking up the pace or, you know, isolating, whatever it is, there's a lot of emotions that are running through. And those of you that have been through sacred depths or in sacred depths, you know that one of the most valuable things we can do for ourselves, for our clients, but also for ourselves at any moment, is to just simply locate where we are, right? To honor what our experience is, not to try to change it, not to try to manipulate it, not to wish it away, not to worry about it, but to simply name it and honor where we are. And so I want to give you guys the opportunity right now to just spend a little time doing that. And so I just want you to write down, today I feel, or today I am, whichever resonates more, and complete that sentence and more sentences. I'm going to ask you to write for about 2 minutes without stopping, and I'll let you know when our 2 minutes are up. And just don't filter, don't judge, just let it come through. Today I feel, or today I am. Just start writing, see what wants to come through. Might be amazing today, right? Or a mix. Maybe you're not sure. Just let it all come through. Another 30 seconds. Just keep on writing. just being with what is, honoring what is. Maybe you're feeling jealous today, or confused, or grateful. Just a little bit longer, keep on writing. Okay. And you can bring that thought or that sentence to an end. And just take a moment and read over what you wrote, just to continue the being present to and the honoring what it, whatever the is. The is may be more than one thing. Just take a moment and read it and have compassion and love for yourself as you read it through. And then from there, with your coaching hat on, we always, I think all of us probably, if you're in this community, you probably always have your coaching hat on for yourself in one way or another, right? But even more consciously, right now, with your coaching cap on, based on what you just read, whatever the writing is, I want you to formulate a question, maybe a breakthrough question, right? Use your breakthrough questioning skills. You've all got them. Formulate an important question for yourself that you might journal on later and write it out. And take a moment to really craft that question. Even just formulating the question itself will bring you to new awarenesses. So write that question down. And then one other piece here. Your question may or may not have been about action, but either way, based on the writing that you just read, what is one action step for your day? Strategize an action step for your day. What's something that's going to help you based on what you just read? An action. So you'll answer the journaling question, hopefully. That will be one thing. But what's something else? Okay. All right, so with that, let's open up for your questions. It's star 2 to bring a question forward. I think this is Nicole. Is that you, Nicole?
Hi, Joanna. This is
Hi.
Me.
Hi.
Hi. Nice to hear your voice and great question. I have a question about a client of mine,
mm-hmm.
and it's I talked to her about her business, and she's well, to speak in the terms of the cycles, at the moment she's in winter. She's releasing her old business. She sold her old business, and she's a little bit in mourning and grieving and to let things go. But at the same time, she's also starting a new business. Mm-hmm. But she's pushing herself to be immediately in summer, to have results, to push and to have some profit, and looking forward to do things. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, she's still grieving. So we talked about the releasing, what do you have to release. And I also feel that she'd like to have the maiden energy to start something new, but she pushes herself as if she wants to skip something. She wants to go from releasing to action, from releasing to it has to happen now. Mm-hmm. So, and when I was talking to her and explaining the seasons and the cycles and the energy that goes beneath it, I was wondering, what would Joanna say? Because I'm not that experienced with the cycle, but I noticed that it helped her using the cycles to explain to her what was happening. And she said, well, you're right. I have to release some things first, and then I go into action. But I try to explain mm-hmm. about spring and the maiden mm-hmm. energy and the mind of the beginner, the beginner's mind. And I was wondering how I could help her maybe yeah. some journaling questions or something to help her go through these phases.
Yeah, so I think it's a great start to create awareness mm-hmm. Around the season.
Yeah.
And then what I'm hearing, and you know her better than me, so tell me if you think this makes sense. What I'm hearing is one of the kind of gaps for her is actually has to do with growth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
true.
What I'm hearing is that there are some shadow pieces when it comes yeah. to doing and producing and mm-hmm. taking more action.
Yeah.
And so my sense is a good next place to focus is to create some more awareness around the patterning and the motivations behind the patterning that has her go, 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 and be in that kind of shadow summer energy of mm-hmm. Too much, right? So first let me
yeah.
ask, does that resonate knowing who she is? Does that feel
totally.
Like...
Totally. As if you know her. Yeah, it certainly resonates because I was already thinking, why is she's too harsh on herself or something. And, well, I couldn't find the right words for it, but you're so right. It has to do from, shadow pieces.
Yeah, good. So that's a place to hone in on. And, you know, off the bat, and these can be journaling, but you may want them. I would still, even if you give them to her as journaling before your next session, if you don't have a next session soon, I would definitely also review them and look deeper together in conversation, even if she does
mm-hmm.
journal on them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm thinking of some questions like, what are you scared might happen
mm.
if you allowed yourself to rest?
Mm-hmm.
Or what is the fear that motivates you to do more than, and the rest of that question after the word than is, I'd say it has to come from something you know about her, like to do more than your energy can hold or to do more
yeah.
than make you happy, right? So whatever kind of pain mm-hmm. she's experiencing right now,
mm-hmm.
where did you learn that you aren't allowed to slow down, maybe? Or where did you learn that the only way to be is to do? You know, with whatever languaging might resonate for her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I... Did you tune into the awareness lab, Nicole?
Yes.
So you could, so you'll know what I mean by this, you could bring in also like this idea of her of outdated survival instincts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
how does this relate to some of her outdated survival instincts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then from there, yeah, you can help, you know, I would help, like, tap into a wiser part of her that knows something else and see what that wise one has to say. So, you know, there are places, yeah, to go deeper with that, but those are some launch pad places that I think could help.
Yeah. It totally resonates because you said something about permission, and we talked in her session, we talked about permission and self-love because I think they're very much related.
Mm-hmm.
And the permission to slow down, the permission to not go immediately to summer, the,
yeah,
permission to rest because of the pandemic and all the things that are going on in our lives. So permission was a key word for her, but I think I can deepen more on the shadow pieces. Yeah.
Good. Good, good. Keep us posted.
Yeah, thank you. It really helps.
Good. I'm so glad, and you're very welcome.
Mm.
Okay. Dina.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
So, yeah, I'm kind of feeling into the seasonal stuff, too. And just personally, I've had an awareness with myself, and I sort of want to lean into it. I think it's bubbling up as like a newer awareness that I'd like to lean into more. So I, as you know, I've just launched my 3-month group program. So we're in week 3 of it. And I sort of see a pattern coming up because, like, I realize that I've constantly been in beta mode for the last few years, and I launched something and then I still don't feel confident, and then I take a time and then I like finally get myself to launch something up but not with the right prices, and like that's sort of been my pattern. So sort of realizing that I skip the harvesting a lot when I'm working with clients is,
yeah,
like, I just, you know, I think part of me shows up and is like, so I start from the belief that I have to show up perfectly from the get-go, and I compare myself to peers and like leaders in the industry that have been doing it for so long. So I start there. And then when I show up and I don't meet that standard of like leaders that I've been on their calls, and I'm like, well, mine wasn't as good as that or whatever. So it starts there. And then like, I almost don't want to get feedback or lean in because I don't want to prove to myself that I'm not good enough, or, you know, it's that loop of not enoughness. So I kind of pause there. So I'm in week 3 of this program, and I already see that starting to happen. And it's a 3-month program. So
how do you see it starting to happen?
It's like after the calls, I'm like, oh, that could have been much better. Well, it starts with prepping for the calls, and the prep for the calls is like that, like over-prepping, but over-prepping to the point where I'm overwhelming myself and I'm not even feeling grounded. I'm going in cycles and then I'm like questioning, doubting. So that, or I just say, you know, F it, I've got this, divine will guide me, and then like the under-prepping. So it's like, it's more than the over-prepping. So that's where it starts. And then it goes into after, and I know we've talked about this in different ways before, and it was like, you know, the harvesting after the session is important. And then I find myself like dancing around that. Like after the session, I'm so drained. And then, and then the next day I want to harvest, and then I kind of like skip over that. And then I just start the process over again.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you, and I'm really glad you're bringing it forward. So because you've been through shadow training, you're going to be able to answer this question. What about everything that you just shared is a big indicator that you've got something in shadow? And it's okay if you can't answer it. I'll help you, but you tell me first. There's one clue. I'm asking this for you and as a teaching point,
yeah,
for everybody. There's a big clue in what Dana just shared that lets us know that something's in shadow.
I don't know. Tell me.
It's the over-prepping and under-prepping.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Two extremes. There's the hyper and the hypo.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we see, right, these two extremes, we know that the healthy place that's in the middle ground there is being skipped over, and that healthy aligned place is in shadow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we take that piece of information with what you're sharing about the harvest, you know, and I know this is something you've been working on. It is not as much in shadow as it was a year ago at all, or else you wouldn't have been able to even launch this program and have people in it, right? And bring in the income that you brought.
And even this conversation with you doesn't feel like this conversation with you maybe 6 or 9 months ago, like probably would have made me cry or something. Like it was that uncomfortable to talk about.
Right.
Now I'm just like, I really see it. I'm like, okay, this is what's happening. I'm ready to like overcome it.
Yeah, absolutely. And tell me if you agree with this, because I may not be doing this exactly right, but my sense of what the shadow that you're still working on is your queen, is your sovereign, right?
Yes.
Because the queen not only does she know how to harvest and assess, well, right, this, I did this and this and this and this really well. This and this I still need to work on a little bit, right? Like she can assess in productive ways, own her mastery, but also she doesn't over prep out of not feeling like she's not good enough, but she also doesn't under prep over like I just can't deal with this. So fuck it, right? Excuse my language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. She's definitely looking for that balanced piece between you have the wisdom in you, let divine guide you, and I really want to have a solid curriculum to teach. Like curriculum's important too. And that's where I guess the struggle is like finding that balance. But then I'm like, well, maybe it's just trusting that this is the first time I'm doing it in the light. A lot of my beta programs have been just the dark, like showing up to the call, feeling uncomfortable after, and then never going back to like even look what's happening.
I mean, you're making so much progress, like so much progress on this. And I feel like you're bringing this up because you could accelerate it even more.
Yeah.
So let's do a couple of things. So first of all, just step into your queen for a moment. Not the overpumped, like, I'm the shit no matter what, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the one who really owns her mastery and knows what she does well. And tell us what's going really well so far with this program. What is it that you really want to acknowledge about how you're showing up or something that you're teaching or impact or, you know, any of it, a particular meditation? Could it be something broader or more narrow? What are some things that you really want to own?
So, like, even broader than maybe this program, what I'm wanting to own is the one-on-one work that the one-on-one, like I've been doing some one-off one-on-one sessions again, or even within my program. So, and like I feel really on point when I'm working, like in my power and being able to hold space and container for the client to be in their power and their own intuition as well in my one-on-one sessions. So I'm feeling really good about that.
Good, good. And then tell us specifically about the program too. What are some things that are going really well in the program that you really want to own?
That's so funny. Like the first energy that comes up is the opposite of that. So I got to get back into my queen. Okay. So I guess what I want to own is the like space holding, container holding. That's sort of like a new thing that I even realized that's a thing over the last.
Mm-hmm.
9 months or so. So I feel good about the container that I'm holding for the women.
Mm-hmm.
And like really having that balance between time for them to share and sort of be seen and witnessed. And then time for me to teach. So that I feel good about.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's huge. Like, container holding is no joke, as you know. You've heard me share before. And that is such a big deal. to be able to do that and to do that well.
Yeah. Yeah. And then even realizing that out of the call is part of the container, which I like totally didn't think about that in the past. Mm-hmm. So realizing that if this is what I felt like I did good to the first call, I prepped way too much information. And in my past, I would just like look at it as like a mess up and be like, that's it, I messed that up. But instead, I just like course corrected, and then I just adapted the second call to do stuff that I had to skip in a way that felt aligned. So I guess that part of it, like being able to course correct and adapt
throughout
the process.
Yeah, and tune into the energy and what they need,
mm-hmm.
and then show up and provide it.
Yeah.
Huge. Mm-hmm. Better than any, than the best curriculum in the world, container holding and being able to respond to the room and the energy in the room. Trump's curriculum every time. What else? Give us one more thing. What else do you really want to celebrate?
I don't know why it's so hard for me.
Not so hard. You're providing things.
I know, but like when you ask me, I go into the things, like my first feeling is things, like I'm like, oh, that wasn't good. That wasn't good. That's what's happening internally for me right now.
Yeah. That's okay. But just so you know, that happens for me sometimes too.
So what else I'm celebrating? I mean, I guess just taking, I don't know if this is even a celebration, but like I'm celebrating that I'm in this process. Like the light is on the whole way. Like I'm not tuning out.
Yeah.
So I just keep, like even today, I'm like, let me get feedback from Joanna of how I can do this better instead of going into like the shadow where I'm like shutting down and like freezing totally. Or fleeing. So that feels really good for me. This is a first.
Yeah, that's huge. Good.
Yeah.
So if we had more time, I would keep on saying, and what else, and what else, and what else. And I promise you, at least there would be at least five more things would come through, if not more than that. But can you just see from the pieces that have come through, like how well it is already going and how that's not coincidence? Like, Dana, I've really seen you over the last year and a half work your ass off to get to where you are now.
Mm-hmm.
And not that your stuff wasn't great before, but I'd be willing to bet that how you're showing up for this group is, like, infinitely more powerful and empowered and useful than a couple years ago.
Yeah, totally. So
take that in. We're going to keep on going, but take that in. Okay. Like feel it. Like close your eyes and feel it. This is not what you're sharing with us right now. It's not a coincidence or luck.
Yes.
It is because of you and your effort and your commitment and your brilliance. Can you feel that a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now from this place of owning that a lot is going well and you're in your mastery, tell us, make an assessment, and tell us what's the biggest place or the most important place that needs a shift right now in the program.
I'm just leaning into it.
Right, not from a Dana beating up on herself place, but from a queenly making decisions place.
So the first thing that comes up for me is, like, just my preparation process for it is very stressful. And, like, so the class is Monday night at 6:30, and literally all day I'm in that energy of like, let me do my outline, make my outline better. And like that whole day, cause I start the process from an intuitive space, like a few days before, even, you know, after I harvest the week. So I'm already doing that. But the day of, I get into this very like heady, like contracted energy. And then I'm like, I don't know that. So that feels like a thing that needs to shift for me so I can show up in a good space.
Yep. So it feels like there's an inner and an outer there. The outer is maybe there's an hour or the day of that's in a contained time and like set aside place for you to look at the outline and work on it, give it the final touches,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to it being like open throughout the day and in your mind open throughout the day. And it feels like the inner piece there, and this isn't going to just flip right away. You tell me, I could be, actually, I'm going to ask you, so what is the inner piece there? Because I don't want to just tell you.
Yeah, well, so what just came up for me was, because I've seen this happen even when I host events, it's like I never feel prepared enough. Like it's, I never, because I do give myself, like even if I set the intention, I'm going to only give myself an hour. That whole day, like I'm like frozen. I can't do anything else. So then I just keep doing that. It's weird.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I never feel prepared enough.
Yeah. I think that's a big MO for you. That's exactly what I was seeing too. I'm never prepared. Yeah, and yet you're saying that you're already planning it ahead of time. It's not like you're leaving it all for the day of.
Yeah, I'm doing like the intuitive stuff. So I cast an I Ching reading and like all the stuff I like to do.
It sounds to me like there's actually opportunity to prepare a bit more before the day of.
Okay, yeah. So I do the intuitive part, and then I do like the concepts I want to teach, and I do some like leaning into those concepts. But then, yeah, when it comes to like actually creating the outline, I wait till the day
got
of.
Got it.
Usually.
Okay, now I got it. Okay, so so I think that so this is actually more outer, but this is important, and it will relate to the inner. It is stress making, right? To wait till the day of to actually write down the outline,
mm-hmm.
Even if you're intuitively, you know, and in your mind thinking about it beforehand. How would it feel if you gave yourself like 3 sessions starting, you know, the week before, or 5 days? So 3 sessions over 5 or 6 days. Where the first is more of the intuitive, the I Ching, you know, all of that. And then the second session, whenever it happens, you're thinking about the concepts, but you're starting to really get them down on paper and start to shape the outline. And the third sitting is to kind of, you know, start to really lean in and edit that outline a bit more so that the day of is really just finishing touches.
Mm-hmm.
How would that feel?
I mean, even you saying that feels better for sure. I love like the creative ideas and the intuitive energetics, and when it comes down to like solidifying it, for some reason, that's where I get caught up. So I guess I'll play here with these 3.
I would say put it into your schedule.
Yeah.
Literally schedule it in. And, you know, maybe Victoria can help hold you accountable. Like, maybe you can share the plan with her and what days you're doing what, and you can just check in over email or, you know, any accountability partner. And then I think that the inner piece, and tell me if this feels right to you, Dana, is when you start to feel the resistance to do the parts that you don't feel as comfortable with, step back into your queen and let her deal with that. Like, let her lead the way on that.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. And then just what came up for me was, like, remembering that it's okay that this is, like, again, in that beta energy, like, you're still learning. So whatever the outline ends up being, it is it. And then you're trying it with the group, and then you can harvest it more after.
Yes.
So I have to remember that, like, it's not an end-all, be-all, that, like, moment I show up. They're still harvesting after.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah, that feels good.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Keep us posted.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. Okay. Hold on here. Tara.
Hi, Joanna. Can you hear me?
I can.
Hi. Okay, great. First of all, I wanted to say that the pandemic and the impact on my husband's job has created such a powerful awareness for me on how I've been undervaluing myself.
Just speak a little bit more to that, because that feels really important.
Yeah. I think because I had that fallback, I have been very prone to overgiving and being very flexible for people and not really fully valuing myself and my time, like in my marriage and with my clients.
Why is
so
that?
I'm grateful.
Mm-hmm. Why is that important? I feel like you're bringing it up and you're sharing it for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, to say it and be seen in it, and also something else.
Well, I feel like I'm breaking a many generation pattern in my family of female dependency on the male provider and disempowerment because of that.
Mm-hmm. Relates so much to what we were talking about last time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I can see just how subtle it was. I mean, I've always been independent, right? But it was very subtle, and I'm getting to look at it in a new way. So, so my questions relate to that in sort of more concrete translation. When you asked the question about what are you feeling, I was feeling angry. At men, it was helpful to sort of see why I was angry at two men in particular. Interestingly, I mostly work with women, but I've had a few men reach out recently, and both of them, interestingly, have been kind of I want this, but I'm not sure I want this, and can you give me a little bit more of this? And I'm just like, fuck you. This is why I don't work with men. But actually, I mean, I really love, I mean, I one of them I know well, one of them I don't know well, but they both have these really sincere, sensitive hearts that are just longing to be integrated into their work. Mm-hmm. And I genuinely want to help them. But so my anger as I did my coaching question was I'm angry because they are revealing how I am undervaluing myself and how I've in the past jumped through all these hoops to make things work for people.
Yes. And anger is almost always related to the need to set stronger boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Right. So one of them in particular, he's had a track record of, not being able to follow through in his coaching business and not feeling the drive to truly build a successful practice. And he's worried about making this investment of, I have a 6-month program that he wants to fast track to 3 months because he has all this extra time, which I'm totally happy to do and can work when people do have that space. But he's also asking to see how the first 4 sessions go and then commit to the next, to the remainder of the program. Mm-hmm. And, based on whether he's inspired to do the dirty work required, as he describes it. And so I was just wanting to get your take on how to work with people like this who, who, yeah, just kind of like want to change the approach. Mm-hmm. And well, my intuition is, yeah.
Oh, go ahead. And then I'll reflect.
I mean, I know for myself, there's just a different energy that I bring, and there's a different energy that the client brings when they are fully invested.
Right. Well, exactly. And so what's really interesting to me is that you started, when you started off sharing about him, you noted that one of the biggest gaps for him in his business is his inability to follow through.
Mm-hmm.
And he's essentially saying, you know, let me check this out and see if I want to follow through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure, you know, well, you may not remember because you don't remember every word I ever say, but you may remember that when I speak about sales, I say that whatever the obstacle is in the sale is a mini version of the big obstacle that they're coming to you for in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so essentially allowing him to check it out and then see if he actually wants to show up for himself is giving him permission to be in the same limiting pattern that has been holding him back in the first place, which is essentially a lack of commitment to growing his business.
Right.
In order for you to really serve and support him, your container together, aside from what you actually coach on or look at, right, your container together needs to be a container of accountability for him to be able to commit, or else it's a waste of his money and your time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, is he going to commit, quote unquote, perfectly? Probably not, because nobody does. But will the container and the understanding that he's in it for the duration create more opportunity for him to do more of what he wants, which is follow up?
100%.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. So it would be so easy, you know, for you to be like, yeah, you know, do the first four sessions and then see, right? But the truth is, I think, and you know best, and what I'm about to say is a strong statement, so it may not be your truth.
Yeah.
It's actually out of integrity to do that because it's just letting him fall into his same self-made trap all over again.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
How does all this land?
Yeah, it totally resonates. I did tell him yesterday that, you know, if he's completely miserable in the program, like, I'm not going to hold him to it.
Yeah, there's a difference between there's a mismatch, right?
Right.
Of energy.
Right.
Versus the, like, I'll wait and see if I'm willing to actually work through my issues.
Right,
that's not going to be a fiesta for you either, you know?
Right, right.
I were you, I would create this awareness for him and use it to inspire him into, I usually don't use this term, but like inspire him into his best self and lean into what could be and use this as a practice ground for commitment to his business.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I had another question, but I have a visitor here.
I heard. You can raise your hand again if you want. But is this helpful for now? You got what you need?
Yeah, and I think it would be a really good exercise for me to do this as a statement of my value. And
exactly.
Yes, we're going to get a snack. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, great. And I have a pricing question. Maybe I'll just put it in the Facebook group.
Sure. Yeah, you can either re-raise or put in the Facebook group, whatever you want.
Mama. Thank you, Joanna.
Okay.
So appreciate
you're
it.
Welcome.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Who's this? I feel like this is Melissa, but I don't know for sure. 3860.
Yes, it's Melissa.
Melissa, it's so good to hear your voice.
It's so good to be in your company today, Joanna. This is my number one self-care move for the day, for sure. So I related so much to what Kara just shared.
Mm-hmm.
Being in that place of really recognizing this dance of undervaluing myself. It's so funny to me because I support women in their businesses, in their offers, in their pricing structure, all the things. And I find right now I'm really wrestling with that for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a place where I have the opportunity to shift the way I'm doing things, and I'm excited about that. But I also know that I have a pattern of overworking and undercharging.
Yeah.
So I can see right out the gate that what I would typically do is not sustainable.
Yeah.
I'm really hungry to have some have the opportunity. I have a couple discovery calls coming up in the next 10 days. To invite folks in to some one-on-one work with me.
Yeah.
And I'm excited because I can up my prices from what they were.
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself doing this dance because I know there's a sweet spot. I feel like what I want to charge, they can't afford. And I'm sure there's some story in that. I just want to feel really strong and confident and grounded in this offering when I get to those calls.
Is there anything, just to make so I get the full picture, is there anything besides the, I'm putting in air quotes, knowing that they can't afford it, is there anything else in your way here?
There's probably lots of things in my way. I'm not sure that I can see them all. I am awake and aware to the idea that this is a story that I'm carrying. It's a familiar story.
Mm-hmm. I don't think the core of the story is they can't afford it. I feel like there's another statement in the center of that story. Historically, what is it?
I find myself looking for something else while knowing this is the thing that I want to say. Isn't that funny? I want to provide really amazing coaching. At a level that feels like I am valuing myself, but also it's like the women that I work with aren't, typically in a place to pay what I pay for coaching. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, and I think that there's a right, that's not just story. There can be a reality to that too.
And so I want to serve them through the work that we do together to get them to a place where they can afford to pay what I pay for coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I've pulled myself, then I'm not the coach. You get paid what I get paid for coaching.
So this is why I want you to answer the question that you avoided. Because the solutions, you're right, like there. A solution. There needs to be a little bit of a different solution here.
Yes.
I see some, but I don't want to feed them to you, or at least not yet,
okay.
Because there's this. You're not going to take it, you know.
Okay.
What's at the core of that story? Or what's another way? You know, it might just be a different context of they can't afford me. What's the deeper message that your fear, I don't know, whatever it is giving yourself there?
They won't pay that.
Mm-hmm. Why? Yes, because they can't afford it, but there's another reason why.
I'm not sure. Because I'm not worth it. But if that's in there, that's really deeply buried, because I'm quite connected to the part of me that does believe that my work is worth that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that there's fear,
mm-hmm,
that somebody maybe would think not.
That they
I feel
would
like
think.
I'm missing something.
You might not be. That maybe there isn't. Maybe that is just the completeness of it. I don't think it's the I'm not worth it. Just see if there's anything else in there.
What do you see, Joanna?
Well, I don't know. But if I were to take a guess, I feel like it's a version of it's not worth it, which is not that the service that you're presenting to them isn't worth it, but more of if you were to modulate the service to be an equal exchange of your time for what they can afford, that it wouldn't be worth it.
If I were to modulate, I do believe I understand what you mean. If I were to modulate the service to be an equal exchange of their time for my work, it wouldn't be worth it.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there's something in there. Because to me, that's the easy solution.
I think maybe I just am not, it doesn't feel, I feel the part of me saying it's not worth it from my end, not from theirs. Me modulating, that's what's showing up. So perhaps it's more of a, can you help me widen my perspective on what it would look like,
yeah,
to modulate
so
my time
got,
and energy?
If you've got a bunch of people that can't afford how you have your one-on-one set up, right? And I'm not questioning whether or not, in this conversation, I'm not questioning whether or not they can actually afford it. Like, I'm going with you on this, that they that maybe they can't.
Okay.
I know where you would go with your – if you had a client presenting with this, I'm pretty sure where you would go with them would be, okay, so what is a group thing or a different kind of private that you would feel good charging the X rate, whatever they can afford – and go from there. Tell me if that makes sense.
No, you're absolutely right. And that does make sense.
And so I feel like the reason why you haven't thought it yourself is because there's a something about you feeling that you can bring that kind of value if it were a different kind of setup or format.
I think it's just unfamiliar. Like, mm-hmm. I haven't done that before.
Yeah.
And obviously, when we're used to doing something, it feels way more comfortable and it's a more natural progression of thought. And I also feel like what's showing up now is that there is a very strong desire for that small, elite group of one-on-ones. And so as we work through this, I feel a sense of shifting into, like, a growth for me as a practitioner into attracting that next level client that can afford my one-on-one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I like what's happening here, right? Because it feels like there's an opening up to, okay, let's find that person. And in the interim, if you want to continue to bring people on, you do want to speak to who's in front of you. And both
yes.
happening at the same time.
Thank
so,
you. Go ahead.
You're welcome. I was going to say, like, if it's too much to think about a small group, then what about thinking about partner coaching, like two people with an elongated, maybe instead of a 45-minute session, it's an hour session. You're still earning your rate, you know, that feels right for you. You're serving
right.
deeply, right? But it's like a shifting a little bit while you work to either be shifting your messaging or showing up in different places to attract the person that's going to be ready and willing to invest.
Yes. Thank you. I really do feel I feel an opening where some creative juices can come in and I can play instead of trying to use maybe some old tools that just don't work with what I was trying to work with right now.
Right, because what I don't want you to do is either name the rate that you know it's worth and then have those people fall away.
Right.
Or lower your rate for the time and the energy that you give and not feel great about it.
Yes. Both of which I've done, and I know it
right.
doesn't feel great on either
right.
end.
No, that's why I'm saying, you know, like there are other situations where I would be like, stand your ground with your rate, do this, this, and that, you know, to activate. But that's not what I'm hearing here. Like, I don't think that's going to work here. For the people that are currently in front of you, but we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater either.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. This is, yes, I'm excited to take pen to paper here and play with some different opportunities, some different
awesome.
Possibilities.
Awesome. And if you want me to take a look at what you come up with, I'm more than happy to.
Awesome.
Okay. Great. See who's next here, Michelle.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you post, this is not my question, but could you post the questions you asked at the beginning on Facebook?
Yes, let me make a note. I just, so
okay.
you know, in my normal life, pre-pandemic, things that I wrote down on my note list all got done with my children at my feet all the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if you don't see it in the next 24 hours, can you just like post and tag me and I
yeah.
will. But it is
right.
it's going
we'll
on
do.
The list.
Okay, thank you. So here I have a client question for once. I have a client who she's a law professor. And she had cancer and is really doing her best to get through the health thing. But her job is on the line if she doesn't publish something. And in part because you know, because of the cancer treatments, like she's in remission right now, but it's still pulling on her physically, mm-hmm. right? And she has to get something out, otherwise she'll lose her job.
Yeah.
And so she's
Which
in
I
my
kind of say is such a crime, but
right? Yeah. Don't get me started. I'll go on my screen about academia, but I'll spare you all. She's in my program, my writing program, and she has individual coaching calls in that program, and she has 2 months, and she has one coming up on Monday. And last week I sent her a bunch of reminders, I sent a bunch of like how did writing go today. I've been encouraging her to only write for 15 minutes at a time so she doesn't burn herself out and she can get something done. But that's actually been really hard for her to do. And I know something else needs to happen. I can't figure out what it is.
Why have the 15 minutes been hard for her?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask that the minute that came out of my mouth. I think sometimes it's just, she lacks energy because of her healthcare mm-hmm. situation. That you've heard the talk about how many spoons you have in a given day. Sometimes she just doesn't have the spoons.
Yeah. It's a tough situation. It's a tough situation.
Mm-hmm.
Does she tend to be energized when you guys have calls together?
I think so, and it sounds like what we're coming up with strategies is going to work. I mean, she also has come to I do an online writing academic writers meetup, and she can use those times well.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that it may serve her to use your one-on-one time as get-it-done time together.
Oh, I love this. Okay.
I have a client that we do this together sometimes, like, because she, for her, it's a little less energy and more just she can't do, like, on her own, she just falls apart. She just started with the newsletter. And so we'll, like, talk for the first couple minutes about what she's going to write, and then I hang on the phone, and she writes for 10 minutes, and then she comes back, and she tells me what she has, and we strategize on the next part, and, so... It's not like a forever solution. And, even your client is different because it's about her energy. But I think hopefully eventually it won't be like that. For my client, each time she has more and more confidence to do a little bit more writing in between our time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's like, especially if she feels energized by you, and that's why I was asking you, is she energized when she comes to her time with you? That might be the best use of your time.
That is brilliant. I mean, that's why we have you. I love that. I think that actually would work.
Awesome.
Yeah, because she comes to the meetups and she can get stuff done.
Yeah.
And like that way, like we can work together on just a 15-minute period. And then we get, oh, my gosh, yes. Whew. Okay. It would be horrible if she lost her job.
Yeah.
I feel that very, very deeply. There's a part of me that's like, it's your fault if she loses her job, which isn't true. I like, the angel knows that's not true. The devil's like, oh, I don't know. There's a little bit of panic in there, but like if she worked with me on this stuff during the call, that would be really great.
Yeah. Yeah, so see how that goes. And I don't know how long it takes to write what she needs to write, but I assume she probably needs more time than just the sessions that you have.
Right.
If she does and you guys get into a good rhythm, there might be someone else in the program that she could buddy up with and get together with for some get-it-done sessions too. They may not be as effective as being in the container with you, but
mm-hmm.
That could help her also.
Oh, I like that too. Okay. Because the other people are Dartmouth fellows, and they're all gung-ho. I mean, there are some of them who are struggling. I mean, I have a client who's pregnant and is teaching for the first time in years. Like, she's got a lot going on, so it actually might benefit her to have 15 minutes of time where she works together with somebody else.
Yeah. All right. Keep me posted. If that doesn't work, we can look for some other things.
Okay.
But I don't think it's about coaching her out of it, right? Because a very real physical thing right now.
Okay.
So I think it's more about creating the containers and finding the right rhythms for her.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. Pinball.
Hey, Joanna.
Hey.
So I want to preface this. This is a client question that I feel like I'm going to sound like such a bitch and terrible coach, but I'm bringing it up because I really want to know how to help her. So
no need to preface, no judgment in any way whatsoever. It's all good and helpful for everyone.
So this is a client who's like struggling with her partner around like doing stuff around the house. And so I think last time we talked about, you know, that they kind of have like, that you and I talked about, that they kind of have this like mother-son relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And then I brought that up to her and how she kind of like the kind of relationship that she does want to have. And in a way, I don't know if it's because like she's in more fear right now, but she was like, I want to be like husband and wife. And it's like, all right, well, like, what does that mean? And so we were able to see that, you know, that when he's not doing certain things like in the house, that, you know, that it's that like her fear is that like he's actually like not reliable and that she can't rely on him.
Mm-hmm.
And then we looked at, you know, then we also looked at, okay, well, like, what are things that she can just let go of? Because, I mean, it was, like, literally reminding him to pack his lunch and take his lunch. So it's like, so it's like, right? So it's just, like, just kind of, like, infantilizing where it's, like, you know, like, what can she let go of? But there's certain things, especially since she works from home and, like, needs a clean space. And, you know, and there's another piece where it's like, well, it's like you all grew up in different households. Like there are going to be certain things that are more important to one person than another person. And also like he's 10 years younger and has never lived. He lived with his mom and now he's living with her.
Yeah.
And she's been independent for the last 15 years. And so it's kind of like, where is there like the point where it's like, you know, and maybe he is insensitive. So not, but it's like, just he has different levels of clumsiness.
Yeah.
But it's also like, she's been really clear about, you know, kind of like what she needs, but I can see that it would come out as like really controlling. So
yeah.
The other thing, so we talked last week and her period was late and she was like, I really hope I'm not pregnant. And it's, you know, that so much of the current stress is rising because she's like, this isn't going to work if he's going to have to do childcare. And like, I can't, this is not going to, you know, and kind of like trying to stay present and taking this time. Well, she told me yesterday that she's pregnant. So of course, like cautiously optimistic, because she had a miscarriage in the fall, you know, and stoked and excited. But it kind of also like bringing everything to the surface.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just like, and I find myself kind of, well, it's like, you know, there's a part of me that's kind of like, yeah, like this is your man. Like, I'm sure there's other things that like you love about him and that there's also kind of like, we have to accept people for like who they are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, maybe he's okay with the recycling being in the kitchen for a week. Like, and, like, you know, that she is going to have to, like, because, like, all of this perpetuates that he's, like, in her house with, like, she has all the closet space, and it's like, you know, it's like that's unequal playing field as well.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So, I mean, I have thoughts, but I want to hear, like, what specifically do you need, or, you know, what are you wanting and needing?
I feel like I have to break through my own, like, you know, this thing that I fall into, that it's like, dude, like, this is how it is, or kind of like, yeah, your house is going to look different when you're sharing it with, like, a 30-year-old male.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you know, but, like, not being, like, blaming, and it's, you know, yeah, my brothers are like this too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's, like, kind of not being, like, kind of, like, fatalist about it, and also just, right, because it's, like, and maybe it's, how do I help her look at, like, right, I get that she needs a clean place to work. I'm the same way. Or if she just accepts, you know, like, this is more important to me, so I'm going to do more work on this way, but there are things that I'd like him to do. Yeah, so just kind of how to, like, bring it up again, especially in the context of, like, yeah, now you're going to have a baby.
Right. Yeah, so I think that, like, your thinking is all in the right direction. I mean, the whole time that you were talking, the word that kept, before you even said it, like, the word that just kept on going through my mind is acceptance. And I mean, I could just speak from my own experience, like, one of the, what I learned the hard way, one of the things that, like, creates a happy relationship is learning how to accept the other person for who they are, and which is not so much easier said than done, you know. But that's the work. Like, that really is so much of the work, while keeping in it in check with one or maybe two non-negotiables. Right, so if she needs a clean space for work, that might be the non-negotiable where she figures out, like, where is the place in the house that is going to be just for her. You know, I don't know what their setup is or whatever it is, but, like, there's a, right, like, There may be a non-negotiable or two, but then everything else is, like, you can't demand your partner to change who they are. And if you do, like, that's never going to end well either, you know, like, someone's going to be unhappy or the relationship just isn't going to work. And so I don't think it's about, you know, you said, like, your concern is about, like, that you're going to come off as too much of, like, this is the way. I don't think it has to be like that. You know, I think it can, you can share this with her in, like, a combination of creating awareness plus helping her, like, doing some deep exploration around, like, what an ideal relationship looks like for her, and poking holes if, like, part of what comes through in the ideal relationship is, like, the house is neat all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I say from my Virgo self married to a Piscean man looking out at my house right now and being horrified. You know, it's just like, I get her pain, and also the issue is, you know, 90% not with him, but with her learning acceptance. So what are you hearing that feels helpful and important?
Well, it warms my heart to remember that John is a Pisces, because I am too. And I think there's also, like, I mean, to be super basic, it's also, like, a gender thing, right? Like,
mm-hmm. A lot of
so,
times. I think it depends. But, yeah.
I mean, yeah. Combination in this case. I think, like, kind of, yeah, because the acceptance also, you know, what's coming up for me is also, like, tying the acceptance to just, you know, that I think like a lot of her control stuff is bound up in this. And then of course he's like resistant to it.
Right. So there's control
things
you can look at. Say that again.
Because he is being controlled.
Right. So there's control pieces that you can look at. I think there's also, you know, learning to like more deeply accept others is always linked to learning to more deeply accept self and life. You know, not to say that we can't change our situation in life, but like acceptance always has to come first. So there's probably some deeper places to go with her there. And like I said, I think there's deeper places around like what is this relationship that you want to have? What are the priorities, the real priorities in the relationship? And then for her to see that she has more, I'm making a guess on this, but you can tell me if it resonates, like more agency in her life for the things that really are important to her. So again, like if the office space is a non-negotiable, he may have to work with her a little bit on that, but how can she create that reality for herself?
But can you clarify this piece about agency?
Yeah, like, so it relates
like
to the control,
yeah.
Right? Like every time we try to control others, it's all, you know, part of it is because we don't feel we have, like we're blaming others in a way, or we're not taking enough control in our own lives, right? So again, like her whole house, she may not have, I mean, well, she does have the agency for her whole house to be clean. She would just have to work a lot at it, right, and not rely on him. But for sure, well, I shouldn't say for sure. I don't know their living situation. But most likely, there is a way for her to have a workspace that she can deal with. She may have to take more control of that situation, like take a room just for herself or a half a room, you know, where he's just not allowed in it, essentially, or whatever
totally.
It is.
Yeah.
Find an office outside of the house. You know, she has agency.
Right.
And so
great.
It's less about him changing his ways and more about creating her own reality for herself.
Great.
I think a lot
okay,
of times.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I'll just say this last thing. I think
yeah,
a lot
ahead.
Of times what happens in romantic relationships, and I can speak to this because I have inspected it a lot in myself in relationship with my husband, is that, like oftentimes what can happen is we blame the other for our reality. This goes back to the victim archetype, right? And not to say that this guy isn't messy, you know.
Totally.
But it's like we blame the other instead of taking the responsibility, even if it means extra effort on our part, right? Or the other taking responsibility is, you know what, this isn't working for me. I don't want to be in this relationship anymore, right? But she has more control over her reality than I think she's seeing right now.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. Let's see who's next. Tammy. We'll get you here. Here we go. Tammy.
Hello.
Hi.
I am a little disturbed right now because I've been struggling with homeschool since September, and for some reason the superintendent wants to pick at my quarterly reports as if they have nothing else to do right now. So I'm blowing off some of that steam because I just can't. I'm already dealing with so much fucking shit
yeah.
that, like, I just can't get a fucking break, and I want one. I want to fucking run away so bad. So I'm just saying that out loud to be witnessed and heard about it.
I'm sorry, that's the thing. And
yeah,
if you have space later, just write him a letter that you're never going to send. You have every right to be angry.
Yeah, no. Yeah, but it feels good just to say it and be heard. And
Yeah,
I'm feeling, so I'm still, like, really trying to find balance between, like, taking my time and not overworking, but also, like, really stepping into my work that I'm supposed to be doing right now and supporting people. And it feels really good to be hosting Baby Lab tomorrow for 4 weeks, and I have, like, a decent number of people. I did open, like, 2 sessions, which wasn't my original plan, but it just felt like what I'm hearing from moms right now is, like, there are people that are working and then the people that aren't, and I feel like I needed to support both people because it's an opportunity they wouldn't get if they were working, like, really working. So I feel good about it. It doesn't feel like an overreach. I'm excited, but I also, you know, I'm feeding into some of my, like, is it going to be good enough? Am I going to be able to give them what they need? And I know that I will, but my gift is with people, like, energetically and being with the babies. And I have to say, I really miss hanging out with all the babies that I do and touch and work with.
Mm-hmm.
And I have done some work already online, and it's been powerful. So, you know, I need to sit with that, but it is playing into, like, I really want this to be powerful. I really want these women to be held and supported in a way I know they're not getting right now.
Yeah.
And so I'm just trying to, like, be with that and be okay with it and know that I'm going to do that. And so that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah. I'm really glad that you're bringing, first of all, yay. That you had, it sounds like you have a nice amount of people registered, which I'm not surprised at all. Your community loves you and knows how incredible the work is with you. And I'm glad you're bringing this forward. I've certainly been there myself. And, you know, as you're talking, Tammy, like what is going through my mind first and foremost is that I think and you can tell me if you agree, you might not, but I think a big piece of this is not comparing it to the in-person work, understanding that it has different standards and that it's a different experience, one that's no better or no worse necessarily, but not approach it or compare it or judge it by the in-person work, because it's a little bit, even though the content is the same, it's a little bit of a different animal.
Yeah, no, I'm trying really. I mean, I really have to catch myself, but I do feel like putting it in that perspective helps a little bit.
Yeah, because
sure.
If you treat it like you treat how when you get to be in the room with the babies and the mamas, it's you're going to miss out on the opportunity of the virtual and to use the virtual and to leverage it in the best of ways to be as powerful as it can be.
Yeah.
It's a different experience. You know, you've been with me in person, and you've been with me on the phone. And, like, I know that you get so much value from both, but they're different.
Yeah.
So what are, I know in person, the skills that you leverage are, like, you energetically being in the same space with the mamas and the babies and working in that way. What are your brilliances and skills that can really be leveraged in the format that you're presenting Baby Lab this time.
That's a hard question. I think, like, what I've realized in the last month doing stuff more virtual is the power of energy and how that can cross,
mm-hmm.
like, mm-hmm. us, no matter where we are, like,
yeah.
next door.
And you shared that with me about your one-on-one work, that you've seen that happen.
Yeah. And so I'm trying to hold that.
But let's get even, this may or may not be helpful. You can tell me, I'm really not sure. But, like, let's get into even some of the weeds in that a little bit, like the details. How can, mm-hmm. like, what are you noticing supports the energetic transmission the most virtually?
I know what you're asking, but I feel like the way I'm going to answer it might not be what you're looking for, but, like, I did two, like, pre-Baby Lab, you know, prior to this, and so when we were talking about a skill, like, how to hold your baby a certain way, so that is important for them to kind of get back into their nervous system and reset. And, you know, someone said, I can't do that. And normally I'd be able to grab the baby and hold them and kind of just show them. So I had to really, like, you know, point out to the parent and, like, put them on the spot a little bit, which I didn't do in an uncomfortable way. But it's almost like they have to be even more present in a way. I have to be too, to kind of spot it online and be like, okay, let's just stop here. And I'm gonna work with you here and talk you through it, and let's just hold that space. And I did it a few times with different things. And even though, like, it felt really awkward for me to kind of pause like that, where it wouldn't feel awkward in person,
mm-hmm.
It was very, really powerful. And, like, the person noticed the changes really, really quick.
Yeah, I love that. So, yeah, that's great. Like, that's exactly the kind of – I mean, I wasn't looking for anything in particular, but I feel like that's useful for you to share for yourself, right? Because what I'm hearing there is that there's a almost like, if you can pre-frame in a good way, like, this is about you being more present, you know, to the participants. It's almost like they're more active, you're less doing it for them, and they're showing up even more deeply for themselves.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's something that, like, in person, they're, what's the word? I don't have my words today, but it's like, you kind of have to do that more virtually, right? There's more permission to not do that in person.
Mm-hmm.
But it's such a great opportunity virtually.
Yeah. I mean, and the basis of the Baby Lab in general is, like, how do we, you know, get out of the, like, what if I should have, you know, I need to be doing this, what's wrong with my baby, and just being really present in the moment. So this is almost like lasering it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
In some
way. Yeah, I would
find it hard because it's so easy to be distracted online too, like, which is, like, key.
Yep. I think it's just pre-framing a lot of that in the beginning for them.
Yeah.
So that they are inspired in this format, and also so that they have some good, like, ground rules on how to get the most out of it. And so that you energetically, for you, like, you know, you're kind of, like, sharing the truth of what this is and how this is going to work best.
Yeah, I feel like because of the work I've done with you, I did some of that already in like the welcome email.
Mm-hmm.
And about just kind of even saying like preparing the space as a sacred space for you for these times, or, you know, but also I do feel like in the beginning I'm going to do some pre-framing, but I feel like with what you told me, I could even like get in there a little deeper. So thank you.
Yeah, I think you can too. And even with this last piece that you just said, like what just popped for me, which I think would be so valuable for your people, for your women, is like, you know, it's one thing to leave the house with the baby and not have the distractions from home and come to my studio and have the sacred space for yourself. Well, now we're going deeper. This entire lab, in addition to what like we're actually going to learn with the babies, is an opportunity for you to experiment with and practice and learn how to create sacred space for yourself in your home.
Okay.
I think there's probably more pieces like that, Tammy, in all of this that could be very powerful for your mamas and babies.
Yeah. It's kind of almost like forcing the issue even more, because that's like what I try to impart. But now it's like, here we are in the really in the shit show.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, cool.
And if you just connect the dots for them on all those things, they're going to get it.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for all that you brought forward today, whether you actually spoke or just brought forward your energy. It's always a privilege to share this time and this space with you and to support you. I'm thinking about all of you. And please just keep me posted on how things are going and what you need. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye.